Hey, Don.
We're finally on two separate phones.
Welcome to another night of the Don and Wynn Show.
Screaming at you from both sides of California.
That's right. Actually, I'm not in California.
Oh, that's right. You went to you went back, didn't you?
I am in Las Vegas. Yes.
Oh, so you went from Nevada to Vegas.
From California to Vegas.
Well, weren't you? Didn't you head back up to
Sedona? No.
Really?
Yep. And I did an interesting thing today. Did you ever hear of Steve Rother?
Steve Rother.
Did he ever cross your path? Probably not, because you don't know who he is.
No, doesn't ring a bell.
He's a guy that is a channel and has been doing it for about 10 years. And some years ago, before I actually ever had my own personal experience, I used to write a column for a magazine or a newspaper in California called The Messenger.
Right.
And Steve Rother's channelings were posted in that newspaper also. And I used to read his channelings, and I said, you know what? These are pretty far-out channelings. I mean, I resonated with him.
Right.
So he's become fairly well-known. You know, he's built his own little following up over the years, and he has a internet TV show that is apparently has 7,000 or 8,000 people watching it all over the world. And his channelings are channeled into 20 different languages. And he does it once a month on a Saturday for maybe 3 to 4 hours. And so I was invited to be a guest on a show today. So we had a really interesting connection. He didn't interview me. There was someone else that did. But we were correlating channelings, and it was all real interesting, real good. Lots of light in the room. And I think the source that he channels identifies itself as the group. But it sounds like it's the Elohim to me, very likely. And very, very much similar information about what's going on in the world from perhaps the same source. You know, some of the stuff that I talk about is obviously pretty controversial, because you say, how do you know that could be true? And of course, I never present it as true.
Right.
But when I come across someone else who seems to be channeling the same source, has the same residence, and has the same, very much the same context of what's going to be happening in the world over the next 10 years.
You know, I understand completely, because, you know, Christopher Holmes, Dr. Holmes?
Yeah.
He does a show called Zero Point. He does
it
usually in the mornings every other week for 2 hours. And I got to tell you, if you're not listening to Zero Point, I wouldn't understand why not, because a lot of people think he's radical, but I think he's right on. Right on. I mean, right on.
Does he channel?
Well, he actually brings the metaphysical and the science back into perfect perspective. Not just perspective. I say perfect because I really adore this guy, folks. He's got a wonderful, very enlightened, very knowledgeable, very wise, very incredible, very loving personality and persona. He puts it together. And it's interesting because he comes at it from more of a quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and brings in all the science of the day, and then adds into what spirituality has become in a lot of ways, and marries it perfectly. And what he brings out is quite radical, but it's quite similar to what I get in my own meditations, which is really quite surprising to me. Only because, I mean, that sounds weird enough saying that, and I don't mean to put him down in any way by saying I get the same stuff, because really that's, I'm trying to compliment him, because what I get seems to concur with what he brings out. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting.
Well, does he just do research and compile things?
I think that he, well, it's professor, of course, Christopher Holmes.
He's a professor at a university.
Well, he teaches. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. Or did until his radical, you know, because he's, I don't know the story behind him. I know that he's such a forward thinker. I mean, believe me, he's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he knows that everything's connected to the absolute nth degree, and he knows that to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the best of both worlds, a very powerful spiritual foundation and a very intelligent one if you were to go into the other aspect of the other side of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I think so.
Yeah.
I used to be a physics major, so...
Well, there you go.
I know how to think in terms of logic.
Well, it's not... Folks, I don't honestly... I mean, it's remarkable, believe me. It truly is remarkable. And truly is synchronistic in a way, because there are so many people starting to allow the truth in.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be soaking it in, or just allowing it around them, or being open to it, but it's hitting them. And many people are going to start getting similar type information, because the truth, I think, is going to hit everybody somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll open to it in different ways, but the underlying currents of truth will be the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's... How do you think, if the truth is going to hit everybody, how do we distinguish the negative sources that project into this realm?
We always want to do that, don't we?
Well, I think it's always important, you know?
It always is to some.
I have to do that all the time, you know, like to keep evaluating it myself.
Evaluating, comparing, analyzing, and then separating, and then eventually, of course, that goes down the line to judging.
Yeah.
It really...
Not judging. That's
well,
the
no,
word.
No, I said in the
discerning.
End, it goes down the line.
Discernment is the word.
Again...
You know, for example, I can recognize wisdom, because wisdom doesn't need any validation. Do you know? Wisdom stands on its own.
I think knowledge stands on its own. Yeah, I think wisdom is...
Knowledge is different than wisdom, though.
Right.
Knowledge doesn't stand on its own. Knowledge needs backup.
Knowledge needs nothing.
Well, we might have a difference of opinion there.
Yeah, I think we do.
Give me an example of something that's knowledge.
I think it would be synonymous to me, knowledge, as to the Creator.
Well, give me an example of information that's knowledge or...
Okay, look at a black hole. All information is within the perimeter, yet it's self-contained. It's its own ecosystem. It's absorbing the information, putting in order to the chaos into a singularity. It's spreading that information along its perimeter and constantly gaining in mass, correct? Bang.
I don't know. I haven't studied black holes.
Well, it's what I'm getting to is quite similar. Why are we talking about this, anyway?
Is that a scientific thing on black holes you're talking about?
No. Well, in most respects, I would say that information that I just said would be quite scientific, yes.
In other words, there's research, there's observers, there's people that are scientific that can kind of prove that that's what's going on with the black hole. I'm not trying to be, how can I say it? Argument. I'm not playing the devil's advocate, so to speak. That's
well, there's a lot of quantum theories on black holes.
Mm-hmm.
Stack yours up to theirs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Are they theories, or can they be proven?
Well, quantum...
This is what I mean by...
Again,
I mean,
once you start... Again, will it be proven? Yeah, I believe it will be. I think science and the spirituality is one anyways.
Yeah.
One will prove the other in every respect.
Mm-hmm. So at the moment, it's speculation because it's not proven.
At the moment, I think that a lot lot of the information we have behind black holes is that pure, unadulterated speculation. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Or adulterated.
But that's where I mean that knowledge is the truth and wisdom.
Knowledge is part of remembering. It's you know, I think that, and many psychic seers know this. They tap into that infinite knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge, I think, just is. It's all is. Ism, man. It's an ism.
Okay.
Now, wisdom, on the other hand, is how we take our experience and apply that knowledge we remember, and we use it in our experience, in our learning lesson.
Mm-hmm.
There becomes then wisdom, right? And wisdom is this, I guess, subjective in many ways. Huh?
Well,
because it's not knowledge, it's just your experience with that knowledge, and can it be applied elsewhere? Absolutely. It's wonderful.
Yes and no, wisdom is subjective. Yes and no. For example, if you've gone to the place where you've had enough experience and someone says something that kind of integrates your levels of experience into a greater concept, then, and you resonate and you know that's true,
right?
Then for you, that's wisdom. Now, someone else may not even understand it, but you know without a doubt that's true.
Yeah, but again, it's subjective, right? That's what subjective means, doesn't it?
Did you follow what I said?
Well, sure.
Okay. Well, like, let me give an example. In the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there's a few chapters there by Ra,
right,
which David channeled, which to me stand on their own as wisdom. I mean, if you've come to the place where you're at the level, where your experience level is at that place, you'll know it's true.
I see. I agree with you. I don't doubt that.
Like for example, attitude is everything.
Well,
what you put out is what you get back.
Right.
You know,
perception is attitude driven.
Perception. Attitude,
like,
you know,
it's like the PA system, I call it.
You know that if you have a positive attitude, you draw things towards you.
You'll even create a positive perception.
And if you're feeling depressed or you're, you know, whatever.
Yeah, attitude.
You know.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah.
And I was sharing this with Michelle, my assistant. A wonderful lady, folks. Wonderful. Because quantum mechanics has been coming up a lot lately, and a lot of people are starting to realize, and this is the year for it. To me, it's in integration and transformation. That's this year. I labeled it that way. I don't know if we should label a year, but that's how I looked at it. It's what I got. And I said, you know, a lot of people are going to start feeling that. It's going to be an energy, I think, a unifying energy. People are going to explain it in different ways and feel it in different ways, and but I think it's going to grow. And funny enough, you know, a lot of people are emailing and talking about intensity now to their endeavors, especially when it comes to their spiritual endeavors. Into their yogic practices, into their spiritual practices, into just about any type of not self-serving endeavor that they proceed with, it tends to be pretty intense for them, especially their meditations. I think that's on the increase.
Mm-hmm.
I think people can accomplish more in less time. They're increasing their vibration, their speed. They're just by their very essence of increasing, and the whole planet itself increasing, they're able to, you know, work and, I think, bring order to that chaos or that energy quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're proving that. We're also proving we're all one. I mean, we're all interconnected. If one is one, then one and two aren't one and two. It's one equals two, one equals five, one equals nine in a funny way, because one and two are no longer separate. Two contains one, and the number three contains also the number one. It also contains the two, which contains the one. What I'm saying is it's all fractal, and it's all exact. And it's all a mirror, reflective. And it's all absolute and omnipresent and connected in that singularity always. And that is what science is coming to realize, that the interconnectivity of that is complete.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start, when you realize that, when that information sinks in, which this year it's going to sink into many in a stronger way, including myself and all of us as we unify. It's, I think, just going to come out in interesting solutions, interesting new developments, interesting radical new ways of thinking, new ways of thinking in the government, big changes coming, yes. With that kind of energy, how could it not stir the pot?
Mm-hmm.
So look for things to tick up.
You know what? I think the biggest challenge that every person is going to have over the next years is creating a solid enough circumstance and a solid enough support system in their life that fear is not an option, because I see that you can have all these ideas, but without a solid connection with other beings who are positively oriented, that you're connected with intrinsically,
yeah.
Because, you see, we need each other.
That's the lesson here, isn't it?
We need each other, but, you know, when you talk about needing each other, there are many lower reasons why people choose to need another, okay? Like, for example, they might need somebody because they need a job. Or they might need somebody because they need sex. Or they might need somebody because they're afraid of being lonely. Now, those are not really spiritual connections. They can be, but the bottom line is...
Everything can be.
Why we need each other... To me, in the highest sense, is because we need to have the highest part of ourselves mirrored back to us. And in that mirroring, we develop an energy with the people around us that is very stable and very true and not based on the lower levels of need. Then, when you go into the lower levels of need, you're coming from a higher place.
Well, if the lower levels are still there, it's actually like slowing down your thought, your vibration, your energy, and coalescing into these lower vibrational chakras or whatever you would, thought waves of fear or negativity. But really, you start to iron that out. It's all a balance later on. Everything becomes very balanced and unified.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be as scared of that, because you see, that's the fear that drove me. What does unification mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fearful word.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it scare you?
No.
You're going to be unified. Unification.
Well,
unity, one. You won't be anymore. You'll be one. You'll be me. I'll be you. We'll be all. We'll all be it. We'll be the one.
The duality is
mm-hmm.
that we are.
We're that already. So once you get over that, then you can progress on. See, that's the beauty. You can have that at any time. You are always that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beauty of the experience in your own self-expression, and allowing everybody to have that, and in so doing, that acceptance and allowance really does unify you. because you're unified anyway. There's, you know, a lot of people talk of the in-breath, the out-breath, Brahma, God, we're in, you know, there's, but I don't think unification becomes what we would think it would be, a blending into nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just, now, granted, I don't know that as a fact yet, folks.
I don't know
what ultimate blending would mean when inevitably you and everything are totally and absolutely one. And what does that mean? Good question. Somebody phone in and tell me what that means. I'd love to know, because that's interesting. I mean, is it scary? Is that what it means?
No, I don't think you're presenting it anywhere near in a way that...
I actually have my understanding of this.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for a reason, and I'd love to have people call in. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Should we have them call in? Even listening to us? Do they even care about us?
I would say if somebody's motivated to call in, they can call in, but, you know, let them really have something to say on this topic.
Why? I mean, you want to get rid of the topic quickly. It's not like I'm really all that quick on it. So call in anytime.
I'm not trying to get rid of the topic.
Oh.
I wanted to make a comment on the topic.
Because
the way you're describing it is, I see the, for myself, I see the answer to the dilemma you're presenting, because if you, I remember having this conversation years ago with people, and that is when you start thinking of oneness, you start thinking of losing yourself, and what if I'm going to disappear in this glob of oneness?
Right.
I don't think that's anywhere close to how it is.
What do you think?
I think that right now we are existing multidimensionally on many, 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 many different levels. And they originate at oneness. And then they fan out into separation. And it's your point of perception on those levels that is how you see it.
Correct. That's a great explanation.
Yeah. So it's not that you disappear. We're already one. And the problem is that our point of perception is so low.
Limited. It's small.
Correct. It would be as if you're in a skyscraper. You are the skyscraper. And you're on the third floor. And you're looking out the window.
That's you.
And you don't know.
When you're really the skyscraper.
But you could go to the top floor. And the third floor still exists. It's not that those floors disappear. It's suddenly your vantage point includes all the lower floors. Whereas when you're on the lower floors, your vantage point does not include the higher floors, okay?
And how does it now, let's say people understand that on our show, which by now they do.
Mm-hmm.
How do they then connect and gain that advantage and gain that greater connectivity?
To the
higher
floors.
How do they do that? Yes. Now, there is a way to do that, and everybody's starting to talk about it. A lot of them in esoteric, metaphysical, spiritual newsletters, e-zines, emails, you name it. And it's coming to a very interesting summation, let's call it, and one I quite agree with. But do you have a take on it?
Well, why don't you continue, and let me just listen, because I mean, everything that I do concerns how to move out of the lower floors and start changing one's vantage point to the higher floors.
Through the heart. Through the heart.
Well,
some people believe there's a singularity in the mm-hmm. heart. Some people believe that's where you have to go through spiritually. Some people believe that there's a sacred portal there. But the Christ is of the heart energy, and it's all, you know, love. You know, so really, when all roads lead to Rome, when everything in your writings, teachings, what you hear, what you say, and everything's kicking you in one direction, chances are you should take a good look at it. That to me then says, in a kind of logical way, that that's the portal. Right? It's the heart. Somehow, in the connection to infinity is in the heart.
Well, you know, from the teachings I've learned and studied in the past, it's not just the heart. It's also the higher chakras.
Is the way to that higher, let's call it phase, dimension, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's through the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You become small. That's only my own perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But you become very small, like an angstrom. You know what an angstrom is. You know it's tiny. And you feel like you're going through something, whatever. Or there's something there you're going through. And when you get over, it's quite, different.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you know, I had a very interesting cognition concerning the heart.
Right.
Okay? Now, I'm going to refer to the Ra channelings of Carla Rucker.
Right.
Where they describe there's two paths of evolution through all these levels.
Mm-hmm.
One is service to self, and one is service to others.
Right.
And they're paths. They're both paths. And that they both work. In other words, you know, sometimes we look at service to self and think of guys with horns and, you know, evil and whatever. And yet, from the point of view of the Ra channelings through Carla Rucker, if anyone wants to read them, they're on our website.
They're doing a job. Right.
LLresearch.org, and it's under the library section. She's got all her original Ra channelings. And anyone who's seriously considering all this should add this to their mix.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That will set you on your journey.
But let's say we have this huge universe and that we can position ourselves in a multitude of places in the matrix of that universe. In other words, for every point in the physical realm, there's a counterpoint in some kind of energetic realm, which we can't see, which you could call the spirit world, the other dimensions, beyond the veil. And yet, we exist in the physical, but we position ourselves somewhere in the matrix. And that could be as a pinpoint in the matrix,
expansion. The beauty. See, Dr. Holmes, folks, again, earlier with Christopher Holmes, Zero Point, he described it so perfectly as the four worlds, I think. He was saying, first there's divine emanation, and then there is spiritual creation, and then there is the cyclical, what they call vibration, and then physical manifestation. And, of course, to me, it all comes down to, again, a matter of speed. Ultimately, I know that's one quick way of defining it, but that's just me.
Speed.
Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Speed. Get on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it is, because it's a vibration. You know, your higher frequencies, you're moving faster, higher speeds. Anyways, but I think it's, again, it's all of these worlds are, you know, connected, like he's saying. Through,
yeah.
And the information is flowing from one respect to the other, but no less speed, that you may not be aware of it. You're only catching it a certain distance, certain speed, certain time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very remarkable. I love to listen to his program.
You know, using the analogy of the skyscraper, and you're being stuck on the first floor or the third floor, and you don't even know there's all these multitude of floors above you. And how do you get to those floors above you? Now, I'll tell you what I have learned is the fast track. You know what the fast track is?
How do you get there? Yeah, I believe I do. It would sound silly, but actually, yeah, I do.
I bet we have different answers. But
I bet we do, but they're probably fairly similar. You
ahead,
might be surprised.
Go ahead. What's the fast track?
The fastest track to get into what? Your higher state of mind?
Well, the high floors.
No, is that the question?
Beyond
specific, though.
Well, I don't like to say beyond the veil, into the dimensions and the higher aspects of the
three ways I found. First way is to really go inward. That's the whole explanation, folks. Everybody can do it in a million different ways. There's no secret. No guru owns it. But that means really going inward and increasing your vibration with such loving thoughts and understandings and allowance and acceptance that it really phase shifts you.
Mm-hmm.
You can connect that way very easily. The other way is to project. And projection is literally going outside of your body. And the other way is to, and this is the way I understand it, it's kind of like more like moving into a very quiet state, almost like a dream state, alpha, theta, beta, you know what I mean? Moving into the different, and then really by your intentions, and I think by your past, if you have that ability, by your intentions, you can then connect in that way, and you can experience and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's probably others, I don't know.
Well, I would like to say, I'd like to comment on that, because to me, my own experience has said some of those things you say don't work. And I'll tell you why from my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is...
Don't work for you, you mean?
Haven't worked for me, and I don't.
Right.
They don't work for a lot of... They may work for some people. So, you know, not to say that it doesn't work for everybody. But the problem is... The problem is that when you're inside your own shell, you go around and you go inward, but you don't still get out of your shell. Your perimeter is still there, and you can call on stuff, you can meditate, and yet you're still bouncing off your own walls. I am sure there's people that understand this, that have gone through hellish periods in their life, and tried to say, okay, I want to turn inward, and they were meditating, and their meditation didn't take them out of their hell.
But I always expect, honestly, mm-hmm. between you and I, that our mm-hmm. audience mm-hmm. is quite aware, up and versed. I make assumptions, and I don't treat them the same way every time. I think they're growing with us, and mm-hmm. I feel that they can understand a lot of the things I throw at them very quickly, and it'll get mm-hmm. to them. They'll figure it out, mm-hmm. and I don't lay it out all the time because, really, it would bore me. It would bore them, and I just enjoy myself so mm-hmm. much, and I think they're quite perceptive, those that listen to us, so I'm not too worried.
Well, I would not assume anything like that until I knew that, for example, one of the tricks here is...
There must be a trick to it. Please...
When you're inside your own box,
why would you be inside your own box, my friend?
You don't even know you're in there because it's your box. It's like you're on the third floor, and you don't even know you're on the third floor, and you keep walking around in circles from room to room and say there must be more to this. Now
there must be more to the floor.
There must be more. You're looking. You're looking around the perimeters, but you haven't broken out of it. Now, this is my take on this. The way to break out of something is to recognize something that is outside of your perimeters. When you can see and take in something outside your perimeter and focus on it, it becomes your guiding light to pull you outside of the perimeters. That means getting out of your own ego, because you have to say, I don't know it all, and there's something outside of my perimeter. It's not even knowing, it's not knowledge. It's holding the energy of a matrix bigger than mine. And as soon as someone starts to focus on that, they start to grow, because now they have a reference point outside of the third floor. Like, maybe in this analogy, they're looking out the window. I'm just trying to make it... They're looking out the window, and somebody on the sixth floor drops a string that's got a flag attached to it. And the person on the first floor sees the flag, and they see the string that's going up. And they say, where is this coming from? So now they start to search and look. I never saw anything come from above before. I thought I was as high as there was.
I like that. I like now, your explanation.
So now they start being inquisitive, reaching and looking for what's above them. And because the string is connected to the sixth floor, by contemplating on it, by paying attention to it, by looking at all the symbols that are involved, they say, there's got to be something above this. Otherwise, until they have that reference point, they're bouncing off their own walls. And that's why I would say that things like going inward, it's good to say that, but until you have a reference point that's above yours, that's come to you in the world, you'll turn everything into the third floor. In other words, whatever comes, it'll mold itself.
Why do you need a reference?
Pardon me? Why do you need a reference?
No.
Why? Because you have no reason. If you think the third floor is all there is, you have no reason to reach beyond it.
So you didn't really mean it that way.
And so the reference point that comes from beyond the third floor is a clue. It triggers something that says, okay, where did this come from? As soon as you start thinking, where did this come from, then you have the reference point, and you have something to look towards. And now you have to be... The other thing
now... Do you remember the first word I used?
Let me just say one more thing. Mm-hmm. The reference point not only has to be coming from a higher floor, but it also has to be coming from a... If you want... like the idea of service to others rather than service to self, because they're both valid paths, then you have to check out that the reference point is coming from a service to other source. This is where it gets very tricky in the Christ of energy, because otherwise you may rise to a higher level and get trapped within the matrix of the very thing that you considered your reference point. That's how negative sources, become so popular and so effective in this realm, because many of them are in higher matrices, and they can create reference points that that are intriguing, but yet will lead you in the wrong direction.
The first world,
mm-hmm.
Divine emanation. Second world, spiritual creation. It's interesting. If you take your divine intent, it's going to actually create that perception and change the attitude and create that perception.
Mm-hmm.
So, if people want the fast track, divine emanation, I think, would be the fastest track. Mm-hmm. And that would be gratitude, love, forgiveness.
Well, gratitude...
acceptance of what is. But you don't have to accept the way things are. You can accept a much higher ideal. And you can let that be known through your actions, because, of course, we are in the physical, and this is the plane. This is a demonstrative action plane.
Mm-hmm.
It's built. It's slowed. The vibration's slow enough into gases. It's in solids. It's in a beautiful learning experience, because taking action allows people to take a whole new step along their spiritual path. So there's a wonderful dynamic going on here. And people, don't have to be accepting of negativity and mm-hmm. negative forces, and they can take steps to correct that by living by living that way as their own example, really, and an example to others, and then taking that example, which will naturally spread through, you know, it'll spread to their neighbors and their friends and the children they meet, the parents' children they meet, and friends of their neighbors and the people they speak with. The energy will transcend. It will integrate and transform. It's coming. You might as well just kind of go with the flow. Otherwise, you know, I would tend to think that when there's greater amounts of energy in our system, which there is, according to all the scientific measurements on all the different planets in the solar system in general, when there's that much energy, it's going to create a lot more potential or movement. And manifestation and excitement of the energy and change. So if you don't go with that flow because it's spinning, it has an intent behind it, and you better bet that intent is loving. And if you don't go on that flow, then you're kind of moving in a... You know, there really the negativity at this end of the scale for this lesson, I think, is naturally going to be gone. I think people need to just see it that way and act accordingly. Again, you're going to see things you don't accept. Things are going to go badly. Don't let it get to you. Just know in your mind you don't accept it. Speak out. Take action. But already know that it's been solved. It's already been taken care of. And I know that seems a little weird, but that's the trick I'd use. And it's nice because it's a way to take your action to the next step, acting accordingly, showing your power, being present.
Mm-hmm.
And working with others, it really is a dynamic.
Well, I would like to address a question to the people listening to us. And I'd like... If someone is willing to call...
Somebody did, and it was ringing, but my assistant wasn't here, and I guess I could put him on myself, but...
Well, here's what I want to address, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've addressed two different potentials here, and maybe there's people who are listening that can...
fill in the gaps.
Well, not fill in the gaps. Not fill in the gaps, but is there somebody listening... It feels like they're in a box that they want to get out of, and they've been going in circles. They know, they feel there's something beyond where they're at, but they keep going in circles.
But they're living in a box.
They're living in a box.
You know, you ever heard that song, I'm living in a box, living in a box.
And if they're willing to be
that's
vulnerable.
That's Boys, long time ago.
If they're willing to be vulnerable, you know, Don, we have to make it safe for somebody to call. Or if we're just driving it, this is a vulnerable thing for someone to talk about.
Well, if they're too vulnerable to call, don't call.
Well, that's not the issue. The issue is making a safe space where somebody can talk about themselves and their own challenges, and they're not going to be made fun of.
Why are you thinking of making fun of them, Wynn?
No,
I don't think that would be appropriate to you.
No, of course not.
Well, then why would you bring it up?
Well, because sometimes when somebody's in that space, if you just tell them, just love, just be open, they don't...
Why would you tell them that?
Well, sometimes it sounds to me...
I'm just
like
kidding
a, like
you,
a,
buddy.
Like
hey,
a, like
look.
Like a,
hey, our
no,
audience...
Don,
doesn't need
Don.
A, yeah.
You asked me a question.
Are you there?
Let me answer.
Are you there?
Let me answer the question.
When?
Yeah.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, you're present now. Good.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you fine now.
I said, when one says you just love and somebody's in a box, I don't think that they know how to do that because they try to love, but they're still, everything that comes to them is within their box, within their compression.
Right. I love it. I like that box idea, though.
Mm-hmm. So, the phone's not ringing. What's the phone number, Don?
877-876-5227. That's toll-free for the U.S. And if we have a Canadian or two listening, of course, they know the number. It's
888-810-3112-221.
Okay, the phone's ringing. All right. He's getting excited. We'll put him on. Caller, you're on the air with the Don and Wynn.
Hi.
All right. Who are you and where do you want?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not in a box, okay?
Uh-oh. I guess... Can you tell us what it's like to be in a box?
Are you guys really here?
Can you tell us what it's like to be in a box, ma'am?
What? I can't hear you.
Ah. Well, let me increase the volume here a bit. How's that? Is that better?
Okay.
All right. Now you can hear us?
Yeah.
Excellent. We certainly want to make sure you can hear us. That's what radio's all about.
I'd like to ask the question. Would you be open to saying your name?
Oh, yeah. I'm Jana in South Carolina, and I'm not in a box, but I know what you're talking about. I've listened to you guys one time before, and...
Put you in a box.
But no, I know what you're talking about because... There was a time in my life that I was in the box, and I had to get out of it, and it's your own mind. Do you remember that song, One is the Loneliest Number?
One is the loneliest number. Don't get me singing at parties, folks.
Yeah.
I earn too much at the parties.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's true because you can't just be one. I mean, there's things out there that are willing to let you know that there's a sixth floor up there. You don't have to get stuck on the third. Do you know what I'm saying?
Unless you want to go there and check it out.
Why don't you, if you're open to it, share your experience of how your box felt. And what happened?
Because I did go inside myself and I had to find me. I mean, I had.
I love you.
Other.
I'll just say that for you.
I understand completely. You know, I had other people in my life that didn't let me get to know me. I mean, I had to. Get to know me before I could get outside my box. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I swear I do.
You know,
that
I mean...
It's the funniest, I gotta tell you, I don't know whether it's the word or something, but it's gotta be the word.
You know, anyway, I had to initially go inside myself to get outside the box and to think outside the box.
And so, how long did it take from that first intent to get outside of the box where you successfully said to myself, you know, I'm not in the limitations that I was before? When did you, you know, how long a period and how long did you struggle? And maybe struggle is not the right word for you, but I'm using
No. It was, you mean the realization that I realized, you know, I'm in this box and...
Yeah, and then you started working on it, and then you went through a certain time period, and then something changed, and then you...
Probably about a year.
About a year.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
you first started, were you sure it was going to change, or you just hoped it?
Oh, yeah, I knew it was going to change because I started visualization, and that is
uh-huh.
the best...
And
that is the best inner power that you can have is the visualization.
Good.
I mean, you know, I visualized what my life could be when I got rid of all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized, you know what, the power is within me, nobody mm-hmm. else, and everybody else, you know, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So, could you be, you know, I think you're sharing this is very special, and I appreciate that you're doing it, and, you know, I assume people that are listening can learn from your experience, all of our experiences, because how we did something, like, what did your box feel like? And then, as you visualize, Don, maybe your boss is not the best image here, okay? I'm sorry, you know?
Hey, listen, I'm not talking about that box.
What? Poor I'm inviting.
Call it a fence, all right? What did your fences feel like? And
clone, Don.
How did your visualizations help, you know, like, what was the visualization that you had? Because that helps other people that could identify with the limitations.
Right. Well, you just visualize on where you want to be, and you focus, and you tell yourself that you're already there. I mean, you don't get negative and say, oh, I wish I could do this. Well, you don't say, I wish I could do this. You say, I am this.
Bingo, you're there. Yeah, see? I told you, our audience has not only been with us, they're extremely astute. And they've got it. They've figured it out. Most of our listeners, Wynn, actually got a great grasp on what's going on.
Well,
I've had emails from them. I've talked to many of them. I mean, hey, they got it going on.
Yeah, I mean, once you awake and you see the whole universe as it is, you know, I don't know, once you're awake, you can't go back to sleep.
Well, there is no more sleeping, yeah.
Now, what came to you that made you, say, this is my take, a lot of times people are in that box and they don't even know they're in it. It's just who they are, it's the circumstances of their life. And oftentimes they're blaming outward circumstances for what's going on. What was the first thing that gave you indication that you could shift? Did you read a book? What happened? Did you hear somebody talk?
I read a book on channeling, actually.
On channeling?
Yes. Well, and then I realized...
Who wrote it?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. It was back in the 80s, 1986 or something. No, I lived in Seattle then. I grew up on the West Coast and moved to the South.
Mm-hmm. Now, you didn't start to channel from then till now, did you?
Well, no, I got a book on channeling in about 86, and that's when I came in to realize that there was more out there than what...
You're having some... What are your gifts that you're finding that you're having?
What are my what?
What are the gifts that you're finding you're having?
Are you talking psychic?
Gifts, yeah.
I don't want to go into that.
But it's true, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't want to.
Yeah, it feels very strong with you. But, you know, and that's something that'll increase as well for you. Substantially, all right.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world right now, but I don't want to elaborate on everything. But I
understand.
I was just talking about getting out of that box, and it just has to do with first finding you. I mean, I have a lot of, you know, especially being a woman, I have a lot of girlfriends that are like, oh, I got to find the right man, and I'm like, wait a minute. First, you have to find you. You cannot find another human being until you found you.
And that is profound. And because it's so short, I'm going to leave it there. And hopefully you're going to join us in our closing, a calling in of the light. It would just be such a delight to have you bring your energy with us as we close the show, calling in the light. And, of course, we're going to be bringing on Dr. Fred Bell's help. Science and Energy Show, and if you're not sticking around for that, then just go away. You're not really listening to anything.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Bell is that good. His show is that great. We love him, love him, love him, and you won't want to miss a minute of him. So stick around. We're going to allow Wynn to take it away.
Okay, well, those of you that have been listening for a while know we close the show with a calling of light. And what this is an invocation to all those energies that are on the other side of our box, are on the other side of our veil, to that are positive, that are in what we could call the Christed energy, or service to others, to work with us and work with our environments for the our own upliftment, the upliftment of everything around us. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of life and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We ask for the presence of those interdimensional sources, service to others, to connect with us, to work with us, to be in our space, to give us signs, signals of their presence, that we can access those energies for the highest good of all concerned. Right now, we all of us who are listening, if you so choose, we join our energies together. On the other side, where we exist, we access those realms where, in fact, we are one. And in that oneness, we send this light to our planet, to those trouble spots in the world, to the Middle East, to the world leaders, to the Earth, to the Sun. And we ask that those energies, our energies, all those supportive energies, help complete the energies in other realms that are not complete, and help trickle down into the consciousness of our planet, that it might uplift and change this reality that for many people is very difficult and very hard, and that they might have the signals to access these higher sources that are available to us all. On that note, my name is Lynn Frey.
I'm Don Newsom.
And we end another night of the Don and Wynn Show.
And we thank our guest for being a part of this. Thank you very much. And Wynn, it's always a pleasure. Know I love you, and to our audience, I love you too. We'll be back with the doctor's Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. I never know whether he wants to call it the Dr. Fred Bell Show or Doctor's Health, Science, and Energy Show, but you'll love it all the same, so stick around.
I love you.